Good afternoon and welcome to Home Run. It's a Friday. It's payday. Like the, what's that? My 2025 best awesome financial advice. Beware of that junction where your salary meets the weekend. Because, you know, you will end up, you know, overparting and forgetting that you have a landlord, you know, and now you come back on Monday and start going, ay! Now you owe your wife an apology, you owe your boss an apology, you owe your landlord an apology, and at this point, even ChatGPT is not going to help you out of that, but that's just a piece of financial advice. So before you go wild with the money, just a gentle reminder. Actually, this is more of a reminder to me. You know, I'm not reminding you. I'm more like reminding me. You just happen to be listening. So sorry, you had to listen to all that. So this is Home Run with Helmut, and I'm here until the hour of six as usual. Your drive time show. And if you are just tuned in, thank you for tuning in wherever you're listening from, whether you're at home, at work, in the country, out of the country, wherever you are tuned in, thank you for tuning in. And as always, I always have an exciting topic for you to keep you company from now until the hour of six. And today's discussion is about environmental management. And this is based on the discussion that in environmental stewardship, it turns out it's just maybe it's the Seventh-day Adventist in me, but the word stewardship always brings up, you know, things like very religious. And my understanding of that word is very religious, so I just decided to go with preservation, management. They could have chosen any word. But it's not that, the word itself is not religious, it's just my perception of it. It's the first thing that comes in my head when I hear the word. But the word itself is not religious, it's English. Now that we have that out of the way, let's look at today's topic. Today's discussion is based on the discussion that that the Ministry of Environment, Forestry and Tourism had earlier this week, and it was on environmental stewardship and gender mainstreaming. You know, the engagement that they had where the whole discussion can basically be summed up in one sentence that was uttered by the executive director of the Ministry of Environment, Forestry and Tourism, Sikongo Haihambo, and I quote: "Namibia's exposure to droughts, floods, wildfires, and health crises demands a united cross-sector approach." Translation: this is not the Ministry of Environment's sole responsibility. Preserving Namibia's flora and fauna talking about ways to basically combat the environmental change, especially those that are being brought about by climate change, disaster risk management, especially disasters that are emanating from the unpredictable change in weather patterns. All these things cannot be the sole responsibility of one person alone, or one ministry alone, or one sector alone. It's for everyone. It's everyone's responsibility. In other words, well, everyone must play their part. Now, this event itself, and especially that statement, brought me to what the ministry, the Office of the Auditor General said last year. I think that was, they compiled a report on the Ministry of Agriculture, Ministry of Environment. After cooking the heck out of them for, for working in silos. The report was compiled on the Ministry of Agriculture. And one of the things they looked at is, the type of fertilizer that's used in agricultural projects now across the country. And it was then found that Ministry of Agriculture in their project, and basically everyone that practices agriculture on a commercial level, public or private, big or small, they're most likely to use, inorganic fertilizer than they are organic fertilizer. And these two, all you just, you don't have to be an agricultural expert. All you just have to do is look at how long they take to dissolve. In organic fertilizer, well, just a few showers of rainfall and it's dissolving. Organic fertilizer, on the other hand, trust the process. And Mother Nature doesn't do instant porridge. Mother Nature likes to take, it's gradual, but slowly but surely type of way that Mother Nature likes to approach. Now, because of the extensive use, there's still extensive use of inorganic fertilizer in especially in the commercial level, especially in commercial agricultural practices, much of the extensive use of inorganic fertilizer. The Office of the Auditor General reached a very reasonable conclusion that some of the inorganic fertilizer that's used are known to cause some damages to the environment. So that then becomes the Ministry of Environment's problem. So now you see, there's a tug of war going on here, because what you have is the Ministry of Agriculture, and all you just have to do is understand the basic workings of organic and inorganic fertilizer, then you'll understand that it's almost, if not borderline, impossible to use organic and only organic agriculture in commercial farming. You have got to go inorganic. Otherwise, it's not impossible. It's just that the labor force required is huge. And then you start talking about a return on investment, and the whole thing becomes, even the most environmental enthusiast advocate will start going, on second thought. Now, if you look at it, one of Namibia's goals is to achieve what? Food security. And to do that, we need to farm more, large scale. That's commercial. To do that, as fast as we want to do it, we have to use inorganic, because organic, that's going to take forever. Don't get me wrong, it will create employment because of how much workforce you need. And you, putting all that aside, when you look at it, the more inorganic fertilizer you use, the more that, the more those chemicals seep into a lot of streams of water and find themselves in different parts of the environment where they start causing environmental problems. And then it becomes the Ministry of Environment's problem now to solve those problems created by another ministry. And that's going to take a while to basically sort out. And it's not just Namibia that has that problem of one ministry saying we have got to protect our environment by practicing this and this and this and this type of farming, or this and this and this type of environmental practices. And you have the commercial farmers that are going, it's not that we don't want to participate in this whole environmental protection thing. It's just that, have you tried farming 200 hectares with cow dung? Yeah, you're talking per quotas, like this and this quota, I want to farm this crop. This and this quota, I want to farm this crop. And it's all just dependent on either cow dung or mulch or mulching or other different types of organic fertilizer. It's going to be one of the most difficult things. I'm not saying it is very easy, but implementing it, it's tricky. So this discussion here then becomes an interesting one, which I think they should have had the Ministry of Agriculture there. Maybe they had a few representatives, but look, I'm just saying, I agree with the Office of the Auditor General's report on the extensive use of inorganic fertilizer in our agricultural practices, especially with regards to crop farming. Yes, the yield is going to be awesome, except the disadvantage of the fertilizer is it degrades the environment. The problem the Ministry of Environment does not want to deal with. Commercial break.
Go shoporaita e u bane go tsa taroge go pitropo o na o limo pumbe o kene o dira ke mo yanuari o ino shironga mi pumbi wa ngashi e pakete jo magenego right brand long life o di tere mo gerimo ga mano ko dore sire no longo no weino sendo mi no go weino we o ke jinta no do ruisi ro king ro forke tata ko dro mi no go heta tu no weino sendo mi no go weino we tare na pano shoporaita bo bipira ngo e dere piku sa januari no fandi sa zingi ziri ko se go gaheta tu ga februari no vo shoporaita ko andando di pevi to vro quine kra
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of failure.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person that does not have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to do.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past, and it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Welcome back. Now, on the environmental preservation, you don't have to be an environmental expert to know that something is just a little off, and it keeps getting more and more off when it comes to, when it comes to the environment, not in the environment per se. The environment is just on the receiving end. When it comes to climate, even if you go to the most remote parts of the most remote parts of Africa and you meet the elderly, sit them down and ask them, is it just me or there's something different about, there's something off about today's weather patterns, as in, rainfall patterns. There's something a little off about it. Back in our days, the rain used to start early and we would farm and we listen to our elders and they're talking about this all the time. Back then, the rain was just abandoned and all that. By this time of the year, we're already eating maize. By this time of the year, we're already, harvesting the first crops that we planted. And you ask yourself one question. What's happening now? Well, short answer is climate change. Mid 18th century, we decided to come up with machines that will help us to move from point A to point B. The thing is, those machines used fuel that were breathing, toxic gases in the atmosphere. And fast forward about, 100 years later, we are paying the price. And, we can point fingers, or we can just say, okay, now what can we do? And of course, this coming together is what's happening with this whole, COP discussion, the whole conference of parties and blah, blah, and all that stuff. Now, here's the thing. There's a country that sets an example. You know how Albania sets an example with a global example. On green energy generation. Well, when it comes to environmental management, that country is Bhutan. Bhutan is the boss at that. This is a country about the size of Comas region. Apparently, it's a country. In case you didn't know how big Namibia is, there are countries out there that can fit in Comas region, like literally. You can just put it in a coop. Now, there are strengths and weaknesses that comes with different countries, and we are in sub-Sahara Africa. Now, Bhutan is in South Asia. This is a country that somewhat to a large degree, actually, from the, since the 1970s, they've always prioritized environmental protection. Like, environmental protection for them is so important, they have it in their constitution, to and call it an insane degree. We also have it in our different pieces of legislation all across different sectors. But the Ministry of Environment, those are the big guys. Now, the point is, environmental protection should not be that's what the Ministry of Environment Forestry and Tourism's Executive Director is trying to point out that this is a cross-sectoral issue. It means it's not just my problem, buddy. We all have to deal with this. Because let's put it this way. When a flood comes, does it only flood the Ministry of Environment? Nope. If the area that's being flooded has the Ministry of Education office, that office is cooked. You can just sit around and say, that's not my responsibility. Oh yeah, when a drought comes, we're all going to be running around, you know, hungry and all that. So I think it's actually reasonable to point it out that it's everyone's problem. Therefore, everyone must be working on a solution, because when the consequences comes, more like when the problems of climate change comes, like like flood and drought, for example, they are not targeted. It turns out Mother Nature does not do targeted advertising. No, they just comes for everyone. You know, everyone. So let's talk a little bit about the textbook example that a textbook example of environmental protection that a lot of countries look at and go like, I wish I was like that. Now, one of the country that is leading the global conservation of the environmental race is a South Asian country of Bhutan, where environmental conservation is one of the four pillars of the landlocked country's gross national happiness philosophy. Oh. That gross national happiness philosophy is an interesting one. You know how every country is more interested in measuring its GDP, not Bhutan. Bhutan is more interested in measuring its GNH, gross national happiness, and then GDP comes up after that. Turns out they are more interested about their people being happy and their environment being safe than how much oil did we sell this year? Now I'm asking myself, what's wrong with these guys? That idea is not new. That idea is coming from the 1970s, where their king at the time, a gentleman by the name of Wan Chuk, came up with that idea. Actually, he's the one that coined the term gross national happiness. I wonder how you measure that. Do you go door to door and ask him, on a scale of 1 to 10, how happy is your family? Hey! I don't think I can work for the ministry that conducts a census like that, because first of all, I'm going to be the happiest guy. And by that, I mean a lot of people are going to be pissed at me because I'm going to be laughing at them all the time. Now, the country of Bhutan is just a landlocked and very full of mountains country. It's one of the least developed countries in South, found in South Asia, and it's best known for its philosophy of promoting gross national happiness over gross domestic product. That's coming from the World Economic Forum. I really want to visit Bhutan. Now, I'll just be there for one thing. Like, so, you guys, this whole gross domestic, how the heck do you measure it? Now, the United Nations Development Programs, Human Development Report on 2020 ranked Bhutan as the highest amongst its least developed countries' peers in overall human development, recognizes Bhutan as a country with a total forest of 72.5%, owing a low carbon emission, a high level of carbon sequestration, and the export of hydroelectricity. Bhutan is the only carbon negative country in the world. Someone with a Range Rover that has a license plate of oil one there is going like, ah, yeah, Baba, come 2030. We're just getting oil, Baba. You can talk about the environment. Okay, fine. Yeah. Look, just saying, look, I'm at that point where when it comes to hustling, I'm at that point where I think I'm about to, I'm more looking for connection than anything else. Not any type of connection. Mm-mm. Just money connection. Money connection is very awesome. Until you stand in front of Mr. Inabao explaining what happened to the money, then it's not awesome. As the fish rod guys. So, let's talk a little bit about this whole... So, Boboy, now, conservation of the environment is one of the four pillars of Bhutan's gross national happiness philosophy, mandated in its constitution. Bhutan preserves at all times 60% of its land under forest cover. 60%, so you only leave like 40% of your country. Now, we are in southern part of Africa. So that means if Namibia was in a forest area, like in a rainforest, for example, much of this country would be a forest. Because we have a giant landmass and our population is very small. And we are sandwiched between two deserts. So, that means protecting the environment for us is two times the hard work. Oh boy. Now, more than 50% of the country, not Namibia, Bhutan, is protected, and the largest percentage of any Asian country. Most of it is intact forest interwoven with free flowing rivers. Oof. I'm waiting for them to discover oil, to discover oil in one of those rivers. So that I can be like, hey, what about the environmental protection? Let's not be jealous. Let's not be jealous, Let me not rope you into this whole thing. So, don't worry. I'll just leave you out of it. So, a few things were looked at in this discussion. Now we are back home. A few things were looked, not a few actually, quite a number of things were looked at in this discussion of the Ministry of Environment, the engagement they just had this week. They're not just looking at the preservation of the environment, but also environmental, call it climate change induced disasters. How do you prepare for them? That sounds very familiar because a SADC discussion that took place about somewhere around late last year, where they were talking about how can we employ technology to better predict climate change related related issues like flood, so that we can easily focus them to give ourselves a head start in terms of in terms of seeking shelter. So. We just went with that and like, okay. I think these guys are up to something. How about we also meet and, talk about stewardship of the land? That's a fancy way of saying management. Because turns out in the early days of the usage of the word stewardship, that's basically what it meant. Fun fact. You want to look up the history of the word, the history of the F word. Turns out there was a time when that was a description for someone and they didn't get angry. We have a break coming up and then on the other side, we'll just dive into much of what was discussed at that event. What? Allow the poor to breathe. Nah, I'm rich for today at least.
At ShopRite, we're helping you make your money go further with our wide range of back-to-school savings. Save big on essentials like 72-page A4 College Feint and Margin Exercise Book, which is $4.99. 80 GSM 250 Sheets Typek A4 Photostat Paper for only $54.99. And 2x40 gram Stadler Glue Stick Value Pack for a low $39.99. Valid until 8 February 2026. Shop more back-to-school savings only at ShopRite.
Welcome back. Only on Home Run. So we're gonna start with the executive director's speech, and then we can we'll work our way from there. This is a statement of welcoming and sort of like informing the crowd the purpose of the event. That's by the Executive Director of Environment, Forestry and Tourism, Asikongo Haihambo. And, you have all protocol observed, honorable, blah, blah, blah. It's a privilege on behalf of, Over the next two days, because it was a two-day event, we come together to weave environmental stewardship and gender perspective into Namibia's comprehensive resilience framework. We already have gender perspective in Namibia. I mean, the future is literally female. Okay, not mind the gap. Leaving all that aside. Now, it brings me back to my favorite part of the speech that I already quoted earlier that says, Namibia's exposure to drought, floods, wildfires, and crisis demands a united cross-sector approach. The ministry's responsibilities, biodiversity, ecosystem, natural resources, and gender inclusion is placed at the forefront of resilience building efforts that can make a real difference. I like speeches. Now. And then he goes on to dive into this whole COP30 discussion that took place in Brazil. Actually, that's one of... Not one of. Yes, it's actually one of the most criticized COPs. The one that took place in Brazil. Because they had to deforest a large part of the Amazon so that they could build a road that led to the venue or where the COP was taking place. So they were cutting down trees so that a bunch of guys can fly in helicopters and a bunch of cars, emitting some of the most environmentally poisonous gases into the air so they can meet and talk about the environment and how to preserve it. COP28 was also criticized. COP30 was in Brazil. COP29 was in Azerbaijan, in Baku. And COP28 was in Doha, Qatar. That one was also criticized. The 27 was in Glasgow. Now, 27 was Egypt or Glasgow, one of the two. Now, this is not rocket science. Sometimes I'm just fascinated by how we human beings solve problems. Like, they had a lot of places to hold COP30 in Brazil. Brazil is huge. By landmass, it's one of, if not the biggest country, it's one of, if not the biggest country in South America. They just had to create employment and, cut through the environment they were trying to protect. They were going to talk about to protect. Cut through the forest, build a road, and then drive cars through that road of people that just got, off of planes to go and talk about how to protect the environment. It's not that I have a problem with the, you know, having the environmental discussion. It's just that our approach to solving these problems just makes the comedian in me come out. And that's the thing. Now back to that speech. The recent global, global and regional development intensifies our mission. That's environmental stewardship. From COP30 outcomes and the Windhoek Declaration aligning with Sunday priorities to Namibia's active role in World Health Organization's pandemic treaty organization, negotiations and active, and climate action leadership. We are continuously cementing our commitment, yet recurring droughts, floods, and fires remind us that immediate action is essential. Now, again, that takes me back to last year's SADC parliamentary discussion that they had on how can we employ technology into forecasting climate-related disasters just in time for us to find or to, you know, to get, to take people to safety. Every time I talk about technology, I want to go not to complain, but, do you know we have the slowest internet on the continent, if not the planet? Well, for me, I'm not splitting atoms. As long as I can play games, I'm good. Environmental stewardship, the ED goes on to point out that forms the cornerstone of disaster prevention and climate adaptation. When communities derive benefits from natural resources and traditional knowledge, their resilience grows stronger. That's the part that sent me straight to Bhutan. Because they are very traditional. That means native knowledge should not be tossed aside when it comes to environmental protection. That's where I got a little bit of a headache now, because it took me back to one UN report that I went through late last year, where they looked at the global population statistics and rural to urban migration, and how the rural community is somewhat in decline while the, you know, urban setups of living they're on the rise. And the projection was the rural to urban migration is going to rise until somewhere around 2050, that's when it will start to slowly decline. Now, this is because we live in an industrial world. Before mid-18th century, when we were still a very much agrarian society, it was, most of the areas were rural because farming was a way of life. Now, you have adults that think that milk is from Checkers. No, it's from a cow at a farm somewhere. You have some adults that think that meat is from a fridge somewhere in Vurman. Nope. There's a farmer somewhere. One thing I like about growing up at the village is I got to sort of experience the life that a lot of people that are raised in urban areas don't get to experience. Like, what do you do? Take for example, if the family decision is we're having chicken for dinner. In an urban setting, this conversation goes something like this. Do you have chicken? Do you have any chicken in the fridge? No, we don't. Can one of you please go to the shop and get one or maybe two? There you go. At the village, what are we having for dinner? Chicken. Just know that it's athletic time. You are going to chase that poor chicken. And then you catch it, and then you take a knife, and then wish it the best and hope that it was a good Christian. And then you just separate the head from the body, and then you just remove the feather. First, boil water. Yeah. And then you just remove the guts and all that. You do the same. I mean, slaughtering animals is something that makes a lot of people, especially when we are in that setting, look at me like a monster. I grew up slaughtering animals. So every time, a lot of my town growing up friends see an animal being slaughtered, it's like, oh my God, what is it? Why didn't like, oh, okay, that's it. That's new to you guys. So it's about exposure. I get it. I was exposed to it. Believe me, I had a friend of mine who told me, who asked me to start taking, who asked me if we can, register for swimming lessons. I'm like, okay, I got the lessons part, but swimming lessons? And she was like, swimming lessons. Okay. Just a quick reminder, I'm from Kavango. If I'll be there, I'll be teaching the instructor how to swim. Because you are swimming in the swimming pool. There's not a lot of danger there. The only thing you have to worry about is drowning and hitting yourself on the side. That's it. Where I learned how to swim, you have to worry about crocodile, hippo, fish, rocks, high current, you name it. How I live to, basically survive to live this long. And oh, there's one video that went viral that made me cracking. Somewhere Kangongo. Is it? Kangongo. And it was misspelled. I think they wrote Kangungu. That shows schoolboys paddling a boat by their hands. Using their hands to get on the other side of the. Oh yeah, boy. I looked at that video and went like, what the heck is going on here? Oh yeah, okay. In the interest of full disclosure, I grew up doing that. Now, is a crocodile not going to grab you by the hand? For some weird reason, crocodiles don't attack like that. Because, actually, I think one of the reasons is because, for the most part, crocodiles we have here are ambush predators. We peddle it. We are one with the environment. Just don't do that. Seriously, don't do that. But when I looked at that video, the first thing that came in my head was, we have got to be innovative, guys. We can't be using a canoe to cross the river for 100 years. Someone have got to come up with a different idea to make it more stable, reliable, safe, and faster for the love of God. I understand tradition and preservation of the forefathers' knowledge, but really? A boat for the past 500 years? Innovation is out through the window at this point. But then again, we are at one with the environment. So, when communities derive benefits from natural resources and traditional knowledge, their resilience grows stronger. A significant part of Bhutan's environmental preservation is based on tradition and respect for their culture and their natural environment. In other words, they have not gone as bourgeoisie as we have. We want everything to be made in France or Italy. Unless it has a French name, it's not really fashionable. It's not considered fashion. Like one South African TikToker said, next time you buy something in Mr. Price and someone asks you where you bought it, don't tell them you bought it in Mr. Price. Say it with a French accent. It will sound like you bought it in some high-end French retail store. Monsieur Price. This is not from Mr. Price. No. It's from Monsieur Price. you know, hand-stitched. That's the lingo I'm told used in the world of fashion. Let's take a break, and then we'll come back. To just put in mind that environmental preservation and traditional knowledge preservation, cultural heritage preservation, you can throw it in that bucket. Falls in the same bucket. Two beds with one stone kind of thing. Quick break.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I am planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the I.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression.
Welcome back, but before we continue, let's take a live read. Call for the registration of unemployed engineers, surveyors, architects, planners, and heavy equipment operators. The roads contractor company RCC invites unemployed qualified Namibians in the following fields to register and upload their documentation on the RCC portal. Eligible fields of qualifications / expertise are civil engineers, mechanical engineers, electrical engineers, quantity surveyors, heavy equipment operators, land surveyors, architects, town and regional planners. NB, this call is strictly eligible to Namibian citizens who are unemployed and possess the aforementioned qualifications / expertise. For more information, contact Ms. Lizette Kakumai, Human Capital Development, or call 061-297-9000 or email lizette.kakumai@rcc.com.na. Closing date, 31 March 2026. Now, the cohesion that came out of this environmental, the environmental management discussion, one, you know, the piece that I just decided to put on my poster because it's just very awesome. One of one that basically reflects the ministry's call of environmental protection should not be the role of the Ministry of Environment alone. It actually goes beyond that. Basically, that implies that it should be the role of every ministry. Every, man and woman, every person old or young. Now, the goal of the event was to first establish environmental stewardship as a foundation for resilience, healthy ecosystem and sustainable resources management, resource management and how they are vital for national security. I'm yet to make make the pattern on that one. The second was to embed gender mainstreaming across all resilience efforts, recognizing that women, youth, and indigenous communities hold vital knowledge and responsibilities, especially indigenous communities. But y'all won't listen to the indigenous communities because, well, you have PhDs. What do they have? With your PhDs, you have climate change. Isn't it? To sort of like time to give. Now, third, to align our as a country or ministry, don't know what he was referring to them, to align our actions with a, you know, with a national and international frameworks. That's where the whole COP thing comes in, the Conference of Parties, that, you know, that I referenced earlier. Now, the Sixth National Development Plan, aka NDP6, Vision 2030, is a framework, for disaster risk management 2015 to 2030, the Rio Convention, and then he goes on to basically list a bunch of agreements that are, that speaks to environmental stewardship or environmental management, and, why it actually speaks to inclusivity, not just the one of gender, but also one of, you know, one of different sectors, one of different age groups. It's a, it's an us thing. It's an us thing. Oh, okay, but what role am I supposed to play there? Easy, you can just sleep. Just sleep. Right, and, yeah, right here. Part of the now we're still back to the discussion. You know, we're still back to the discussion. A bunch of things were basically pointed out there. My God, now, okay. The Ministry of Gender Equality were there, since you know, gender mainstreaming was part of the, you know, it's environmental stewardship and gender mainstreaming, so you can expect the Ministry of Gender guys to be there. So what are some of the awesome things they said? Now you just skip all the, I swear this whole protocol observed. Maybe I'll find myself in the middle of you know, the political sphere, and I'll also be there saying all protocol observed. I'll stand on the protocol already established. Sometimes I feel pity, you know, feel pity for my career. Ministry of Gender, what say you about this whole thing? They go to, straight to just, you know, the whole 1990 and blah, 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 not interested for me. Now, over the past 3 decades, there have been unplanned external factors that tested our nations in extraordinary ways. As you know, we experienced a terrible drought between 2023 and 2025. You know that time when Zambia was like, "Ash, do we declare state of emergency? Do we not?" And then they declared this. And then we were like, "Should we follow them?" And then we did follow them. And then they started having load shedding because it was that bad. But, you know, we get some of our electricity from Zambia, but so Zambia was like, do we include these guys in load shedding? And, but, well, they are very good paying customers, so we are not going to, yeah, that. So, as you know, we have experienced a terrible drought between 2023 and parts of 2025, resulting in about 1.4 million Namibians facing food insecurity, straining our health systems and exposing deep vulnerabilities in our communities. But this crisis did not affect us equally. Women and girls were most affected, walking longer distances for water, managing increased household responsibilities, facing higher exposure to gender-based violence, and struggling to sustain their families with resources and diminished daily. I think this is more for the rural communities, and also, by the way, you know, in the, you know, informal settlement, because for those of finds ourselves in suburban-ish type of environments, fetching water is not something that you even talk about. Collecting firewood is not something you talk about. But if you live in a rural area and in the informal settlement, then tradition now comes in. Fetching water is mostly a woman's role. Cooking is mostly a woman's role. Mostly. I say it mostly. It's John Oliver. The British chef guy. I like to try to cook. So far, I haven't set any kitchen on fire, so I think I'm good. So you can cook. Like, seriously, there are a lot of, I know, well, I can't cook. I don't know how to cook. Really? Really? I have an example. You know that thing that you do in the bedroom? Who trained you how to do that? You found some website where you basically copied some of which are very unrealistic things. And you decided to practice them until you were told, okay, now you, whoa, easy. That, yes, but that, are you nuts? And definitely not talking from experience. Now, what you have here is that, the point I'm trying to make is, if you want to learn something, man or woman, if you want to learn how to cook, you can learn how to cook. And, but the thing is, more often, for those of us that find ourselves in urban areas, oh, you're gonna learn how to cook. I'm in a woman-dominated family. So, I was basically spoiled when it comes to cooking. So, until 2015, when I found myself in Arandes, and I bought my food, and, I was living, just living alone, very, like, every guy's dream, just say, I have my food and my water, electricity, everything is sorted. Until I realized that I wasn't married and someone is going to have to cook, because the pasta will not jump in the pot and then perfect itself to that delicious. Yeah, you do not want to know how that pasta came out. The impact that is emanating from environmental, from climate change, like drought, for example, is impacting different people, differently. And this is not just in Namibia, this is globally. A lot of developing countries are suffering the consequences of climate change, but they did not contribute as much as, they did not contribute that much. Why? Because industrialization is just something that we are looking at now. Countries like the British, they have been burning coal since 19 unknown on an industrial scale. They contributed the most. A lot of developed countries have contributed the most towards climate change, towards, carbon emission that led to, the climate change problems we have now. But all countries, including those ones that are developing, the consequences of climate change are not coming only to countries that are developed because they emitted a lot of the gases that led to this, to these problems. Nope. Droughts and flooding and all those, El Nino's rainfall situations are just impacting everyone in all countries the same, developed or developing. Now, when you look at it on a national level, you see the same thing. It's impacting all of us equally, both those that have Vrupa and those ones that are using Golf Tows or Tows Yota. We're all being impacted differently. Now, the impact, we're all being impacted the same. But, the impact is easy to navigate if you have the resources. But it's not easy to navigate if you do not have the resources. When there's a drought, if you are fetching water from the river, you'll have to walk an extra long distance. When there's drought and a lot of trees have been cut down, you'll have to walk, every year you'll have to walk an extended distance to go and collect firewood. But if you have a car or you live in an urban area, for example, that drought impact is not going to be as bad because you are not walking a long distance to go and collect firewood. You have a switch. You have a socket right next to your bed. You just turn it on and then there's your energy. You go to the kitchen, you just, wash the pots, put them on the stove, flip the switch and you start cooking. But if you are in the rural area, if you are the, if you are the indigenous, if you are living indigenous lifestyle, like what we call village lifestyle now, it's not easy. So the impacts are the same, but navigating those impacts is much easier for others, for some than others. Oh, we have a break, and on the other side, we continue with this discussion. Sometimes I forget to breathe. Leave me alone.
At ShopRite, our low price promise is to always help you save when you need it most. Make every dollar count this January and save big on deals like 500 grams Rama Original 70% fat spread, only 28 Namibian dollars 99 each, and 3 kg Polana elbow pasta for only 69 Namibian dollars 99. Don't miss out. Visit your nearest ShopRite and save more this January. Offers valid until 8 February 2026. ShopRite, lower prices you can trust. Always.
Tune in to The Home Run with Helmut and Dwight on your number one talk radio station, Eagle FM, and be part of an in-depth discussion on events you didn't know you needed to hear until you do, from Namibia, Africa, and around the world. Tune in from Monday to Friday from 4:30 to 6 p.m. only on Eagle FM.
So one of the things revealed in the in the stewardship and gender in the environmental stewardship and gender mainstreaming discussion was the labor force survey statistics that indicated that only 41.9% of women participate in the labor market compared to 51.1% of men. These statistics I actually find very interesting, because if you look at the graduation, like tertiary education graduation statistics, ladies are kicking our behinds big time. I know that there are a lot of factors that actually there are a lot of factors that actually goes into this, including things like what course are you studying, and what does the job market look in relation to that particular course or field of study. And of Namibia's working age population, women constitute 51%, and yet their economic participation lags significantly behind men. Again, one thing that contributes to this is the job market plays a significant role in this. Now, I'm with Jordan Peterson when he said, the Canadian psychologist Jordan Peterson, when he said, one of the main differences between men and women is that men are more interested in things than they are in people. Women are more interested in people than they are in things. That explains a lot. Have you tried telling a girl a story? Jeez. They're asking questions to read it. My God. What car was he driving? How many wheels did it have? Who cares? They got in a fight. One guy lost, the other won. That's it. How did it start? I didn't ask them. What clothes were they, what color clothes were they wearing? Is that even important? But that's a discussion. I already prepared a whole discussion on that. And that's for Sunday. I swear, I really want to understand. Actually, I think I'm going to drag someone. Yeah. And now that I'm thinking about them, I should have included them on the poster. Men versus women. So, the reason why I went that direction of the example of comparing, men's interest in things and women's interest in people is that, this shapes what we see in society with regards to, which line of work is dominated which line of work or which disciplines are dominated by women and which disciplines are dominated by men. And according to Jordan Peterson's analysis, if you look at disciplines that have to do with working with things, those disciplines are dominated by men, or those lines of work are dominated by men. And if you look at lines of work that have to work with people, they are dominated by women. I'm yet to see a guy who's a nanny. This is not a gender stereotype or something. Every rational person I have met when you mention the word babysitter or the phrase babysitter, the first picture that comes in mind is a woman. That's because Muzaki Mburi was right. Women are caregivers by nature. Like, look, do you really want Helm to be a babysitter? For one, actually, no, I would. That's the worst risk you could take. Oh boy, how much trouble am I in? Like, believe it or not, someone's daughter out there is praying and fasting for her husband. It turns out God is like, don't worry, he's somewhere at Eagle FM making noise. He will be with you shortly. Lord, if there's someone's daughter praying that prayer, please just slowly, it's either give me blessings to be loaded or just throw in a little bit of a hint there in that. Yeah, he's a nice guy, he's funny, but did I mention he's broke? Just clear the road for me. Sorry, but this whole, in my head, it's already Sunday, so it's mind the gap. Quick break.
Lipura nengeno wapumbwa Eva tere ulikoni maondo tuto ingida ashike kapeno nwe kutite opoye ekukurile oshafafa na nongeshe faili mehola mo iho etike kovano ile koshiwana onongeshe fa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna evito danjuka okukwetira oipindi konu konda doi nawa nune udo otukwetira o special ange tashake ngeshe fa omarudi dayo loka opone ujendife nawa nokumona oijamo ili nawa ninge fata fanona monika ko Eagle FM onore tatuimwe bali heali nola natu heali bali no heali ile kongerewa mura hetatu natu bali o hetatu matatu o mafilane Eagle FM the eye.
Welcome back. Before we continue, I freed. The University of Namibia informs students that online hostel registration for 2026 opened on 12th January and will run until 27 February 2026. Only students who applied for residence and received official placement confirmation may register online. Access to hostel will not be granted without proof of residence registration. Students placed on a waiting list may be considered if space becomes available. For assistance, students are advised to contact their respective residence offices. Hope you got that. So, moving on. So, when it comes to the whole employment statistics, I think it, the line of work or the field of study you are doing matters a lot. So if you look at fields of study like nursing, for example, this is something that's known globally. Fields of study like nursing and teaching, especially on the, on a lower like primary level, those spaces are dominated by women. And, another sphere or another sector or another discipline that's also dominated by women is the one that I find myself in. Media. Oh, it's also a lot. So for you to fit in, you must, speak like your tongue does push-ups. Oh, I just started World War III. So, I don't think there's somewhat of a gender employment imbalance going on in terms of recruitment. It's, are you applying? Yes. What post is advertised? Did you study for it? And all those things, a lot of those things basically, factors in. But, they are the experts. What do I know? If you look at, when it comes to economic status or economic division, those with high economic capabilities in terms of if you have a job or you have 2, 3, 4 people that make decent income in your family or in your circle, then this impact is not going to be felt in the same way that people somewhere in the remote areas with not a single person earning a reliable source of income, they are going to face that differently. They are going to be impacted as more by a climate change related problems than someone that actually has a consistent source of income or reliable source of income. Unfortunately, Mother Nature is just brutal. And the thing is, according to our recent population statistics and labor force population statistics, the dispersion of people between rural and urban areas in Namibia is about 50-50.
Yeah.
That's interesting. Eish. When I'm singing about it, I'm about to point at something. I'm saying, well, but anyway, moving on. Our national development, development plan, aka NDP-6, recognizes that setting ambitious targets to increase social protection and coverage from 74% to 85% by 2030 to ensure that non-Namibians are left behind. But targets alone are insufficient. Yeah, I know. We covered this yesterday. Talking easy, practice not easy. We must ensure that our policies, programs, and investment deliberately addresses the differentiated needs, vulnerabilities, and capabilities of women, men, girls, boys, and different, call it economic disparities. So, targeted service provision. In the very same, if political campaigns were targeted service provision, poor people will be sorted. Because it's very much targeted. That's when every politician learns how to pronounce every village in parts of the country they have never even been to. Gather them around. How do you pronounce this? Thikanduko. It's Thikanduko. You're black. You're not English. What do you mean Thikanduko? See your life. Now, to pull off this whole type of equality in terms of the whole gender mainstreaming discussion part of these things, then we can just wrap it up with the environment. First, we must ensure women's meaningful participation in decision making. I think we've already achieved this. Have you seen our parliament? Have you seen our state house? I'll give us a check on this one. Now, from disaster risk management committees to environmental and governance structures, women's voices must be heard, valued, and acted upon. One of the reasons why this is actually a problem in a lot of countries, not just in Namibia, and actually not just in Africa, is tradition. Tradition. Why am I saying tradition? It's because if you go back to the, to the ED speech, what did he say? Indigenous knowledge should be employed in environmental protection. Now, this was environmental stewardship, which is basically environmental protection and gender mainstreaming. Now, what you have here is, if we are employing indigenous knowledge, part of indigenous knowledge is cultural practices, and most cultures around the world are inherently patriarchal. So now you see the conundrum we're sitting. It's not actually a conundrum because it's about This is where you now have to, we now have to start looking at filtering things out. Like, okay, how much of our culture are we adopting as part of what will continue into the indefinite future? And how much of our culture are we saying, I mean, it was nice while it was practiced, but we are not going to continue with this. I'll give you an example. In my culture, when it comes to inheritance, if a husband dies, you are cooked as a wife. Because culturally, the property of the deceased goes to the niece and nephews of the deceased. Not the wife, not the kids. The niece and nephews. Now, if you ask me, and as part of my culture, like if I was to edit my culture, that would be the first thing to go. What do you mean, niece and nephews? They have their own parents. They have their own mother. They have their own father. They have their own parents. You have a kid here who just lost the father or just lost the mother. You're gonna take the stuff that you are supposed to give to the kid and give it to, like, really? And then there was the, yeah, I can't use that as, you know, as an example, because I know that knowing my friends, knowing people I have in my life, especially one Balano I won't mention. Mention that one more time and I will never hear the end of it. Now, the first is the gender balance. Now, the knowledge of local ecosystem, the traditional, let's just start over with that, which is why, I mean, this is the part that is, to some degree correlates with the ED's speech. This is coming from, that's on page 6 of a statement by Honorable Emma Kantema, Minister of Education, Gender Equality and Child Welfare. And now, just back there, un momento, s'il vous plaît. Some reason technology is just getting on my nerves now. Now, oh, we're good. So, how do you balance this whole gender thing in Namibia? Oh, yeah, as it relates to, of course, basically everything, including environmental protection and also disaster risk management. According to the Minister of Gender, first we must ensure women's meaningful participation in decision making, from disaster risk management, management committee to environmental governance structure, women's voices must be heard, valued and acted upon. Their knowledge of local ecosystem, traditional practices and community, they were evident, traditional practices and the community's dynamic is invaluable for designing effective locally owned resilience and resilience strategies. Resilience with regards to dealing with the climate change induced world problems. These are environmental, of course. Oh boy. So the only way to pull this off is a filter. How much of our tradition are we going to adopt and accept that this is going to go on? This is going to go on. Like, this is what we want to carry on. And then we look at some and go like, we appreciate that it's part of our culture, but hey, no way we're continuing with this. I already gave you an example of mine, of what I would edit. And this is the reason, I believe, why women would choose civil marriage over the traditional ones. Because let's face it, when it comes to the passing of a spouse, if the spouse is the man that passed away, and you don't have civil laws to protect you, the relatives of that man are going to chew you alive. And believe me, I have seen this, not the chewing part, not the literal chewing part. Not to set my gender on fire here, but guys, our family members are nice when you are alive. But some of them, I ran into a very peculiar family though. One lady I know very close to me, family member, the husband passed on. And she received the best treatment from, you know, the best treatment from the deceased husband's family. I was like, hey, because some of us, you just go home and look at your family, you know, some of, not all of them, of course, you just look at some of your family members and go like, so that poor girl that I called my girlfriend there. So one day I'll have to bring her to meet that one. Hey. There are blessings in families when it comes to relationship, and then there are weapons formed against your relationship. And those ones that smile in front of set up CCTV, they're not smiling in your absence. Now, second, the Minister of Gender goes on that we must prioritize gender responsive social protection. And we already have some of this running. It's just the funding is somewhat questionable. I think that was in 2024 when some ladies from civil society organizations or, you know, women's shelter organization, I think, you know, that they represent during an engagement between the Ministry of Gender. Yeah, it was an engagement with the Ministry of Gender. I think the Minister of Home Affairs was there, but, the then Minister of Finance, Sipho Mushimi, was there. And one question he was asked was, women's shelters were somewhat closed down, or they were partially or not operating at all for a significant part of, about a year. So they were asking the Minister of Finance why that is the case. Is that was that a funding problem? And his response was one that also educated me. It was like, who is in charge of these shelters? They are they are mostly associated with the security cluster, especially the police. So the police is under the Ministry of Home Affairs. So I'm just the Minister of Finance. I disperse the funds, but what ministry, you know, what project every ministry prioritizes in terms of funding, I don't have control over that. And it's like, did you not know that? Look, I knew that because I knew that the different ministries and SOEs basically have to make their procurement plans, which they submit with the Ministry of Finance. But they are not told that now on this, your procurement plans and all this, what you say you are going to spend the money on, prioritize this and this and this. No, they just take that and say, okay, this is about how much you need. Well, okay, here's the money. Now, which one of those you are going to prioritize in terms of spending, that's on you. That's the first thing that basically came to my head when I read the statement of, we must prioritize gender responsive social protection and child welfare systems as care resilience infrastructure. But this whole thing comes back to one thing over and over again. Do we have the money? More often the answer is yes and no. Yes as in yes, we have the money. No as in it's never enough. It's never enough. And now the last part before I move to the, last part of the Minister of Gender speech before I move over to the, to conclusion. I heard that before. I heard this, somewhere on social media. To conclusion. Like, just go on. Conclusion, my sister, conclusion. What conclusion? We didn't ask for this language. If you say congruition, I agree with you. It's congruition. You are not Queen Elizabeth, or you just break the language. Let's move on with life. We are not wasting time here. As the Ministry of Gender Equality and Child Welfare, we have made notable progress in strengthening the protections system that keeps a household stable when shocks hit. Financially? Now, you know why I don't attend events. I don't think I can be trusted with a microphone in a group full of people. The chances of me being punched in the face are really high. I'm not saying punch me in the face. I have my teeth. I need them to pronounce words like ministry, stewardship, ministry, stewardship. During the preceding strategic period, the Ministry of Gender increased child grant average by 69%, improved by the minimum package of a child care index from 0. Then you have a bunch of numbers not even I understand. Then they just went straight to the part that I understand that. Additionally, 81% of educators received subsidies to strengthen early childhood education. Early childhood education. Excellent. So, two things that we are looking at here. Environmental stewardship and gender equality, basically. In everything, environmental stewardship and also disaster risk management and how to, in response. So you obviously need representatives. You need representatives. You need someone that will look from, that will look at, at that problem, from a near closer to home perspective. Now, what I mean by that is, if you look at disaster risk management, for example, like, how to deal with a drought or flooding or stuff. Obviously, you'll need women and the group that are, part of your response team because, they understand women needs more than, I do. Than a man does. If you think I'm wrong and you're a lady or a man, if you're a lady, or you are a woman, try sending your boyfriend or husband to buy for you feminine products. Just do that. You are gonna murder him. The stuff he's gonna bring is, boy, don't do that. Just for the sake of your sanity, attention to detail, not our strong suit. We're not broken. In the gaming community, we are criticized. Now, this is one of the jokes that you find in the gaming community. That men will stand in front of a fridge for 5 minutes looking for tomato sauce or mayonnaise or whatever they are looking for in that fridge. A woman will come and find it. She will come pissed off and find it right in front of the idiot. But that very same guy, when he sits on his computer, when he's communicating with his teams about, his team about, enemies, imaginary enemies in a video game, he's the one that will be saying, just under that tree, there's a sniper. So you can see a sniper in the middle of a grassland in a video game, but you cannot see the tomato sauce that's right in front of you in the fridge. I think I would find the tomato sauce if it was in Call of Duty. But the fact that it's in the fridge, that's not on me. I can't see because, it's in. So, all in all, two things to draw from this. Indigenous knowledge is needed to address both environmental protection, environmental protection issues and disaster risk management response. Indigenous knowledge is needed. And indigenous knowledge is also needed. Traditional cultural knowledge is also needed in gender equality. Now, there is where we are going to have a serious discussion now. Because that's where you are now going to have, traditional gender roles on a collision course with the traditional norms that we call African tradition. Like I said, like I pointed out earlier, filtering is our only goal. It's our only hope. Because if we just say, you know what, this is our culture, let's preserve it as it is. Oh boy, are we going to have problems. But let's take a break and we'll sign off on the other side. Home Run with Helmut on Eagle FM.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of failure.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud. So
not a fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person that does not have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura. And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to do.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before. It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past, and it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, your eye.
Welcome back, and that brings us to the end of Home Run for today. Until Monday, same time, same place, here on your favorite radio station, Eagle FM, from yours truly. This is where I park the bus and hand you guys over to David with business and economic segment. But like I pointed out earlier, just a word of caution, the financial advice, beware of the day, beware of that payday that, beware of that junction where your salary meets the weekend. Don't forget that you have a landlord. Don't forget that you have a family at home. Yeah, don't forget that you have a boss on Monday. Yeah, especially there by landlord. Now, if you are married, don't forget that you are married. So, look, I know. We like to say mental health in men. Sometimes some of the heart attacks are self, are self-inflicted. You piss off your boss, you piss off your wife, you piss off all that in Friday. Come on Sunday, you know, like mental health? Okay, no. Let me not lecture you. Have a good life, guys. Have a good weekend. Don't drink and drive. Stay away from people's wives.